Hey, what is going on, NBA draft fans? Welcome to Film Sesh. My name is Corey Tullab of the NBA Draft Dude, and I am here today with a very special guest. We have Ricky Council in the house today. Ricky, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you coming to chop it up with the No Ceilings family. Before we get started and breaking down some film, I think for anybody who isn't familiar with your game, how would you describe your game?
Very athletic, like to get downhill, very creative when I get to the rim, also on the perimeter as well to like get to the rim. And I'd say a highlight reel.
A highlight reel is definitely a good description of your game, and we're going to get into a little bit of that. But before we get into the film, tell me about this whole process, man. First of all, congratulations on going through it. I mean, this is an exciting time. How are you feeling day to day? What's your schedule and your routine like? I'm sure you're flying all over the place. How are things going?
No, things are good. Started my team workouts last week with all the different teams. Started off in Indiana, then went to Brooklyn. Went to Utah Monday, Washington Tuesday, and just finished off with Memphis yesterday. So it's been real good. As you just heard, that's 5 teams in 2 weeks. So been all over the place, but it's been real good, though. Real exciting.
Love that. You did a little jet lag at all, bouncing around like that?
I had a back-to-back from Utah to Washington, so that was tough. Different time zones, 4-hour flight, but I got through it for sure.
What's been your have you gotten to like explore the city at all? Or are you so busy that you're just like workout, hotel, next flight?
I think the only place I went, I'm lying. I went out in Brooklyn, I went to Times Square, so I had to experience that. That was very live, very exciting. A lot of people out there. Went out in Utah, who was downtown, so I walked around there just to like get a feel of the place. That was nice as well. Nicer than I thought. Cloud seemed very close. Almost felt like I can jump up and touch him. So, yeah, that was nice as well. I think that's didn't get to go out in Memphis or Washington.
Okay. All right. I'm a New Yorker, so, you know, I'm glad you got to see a little bit of New York City. Yeah. So, like you said, you are a highlight reel, like your whole game. I feel like in the NBA draft space, when we talk about athleticism for this class, people go to Cam Whitmore. People might go to, you know, the Thompson twins. Where do you think you stack up as an athlete in this class?
Top of the line. The two you just named, I've seen clips and film of them. They're very athletic as well, but I just feel like my athleticism is different. Like, going to the combine, my vertical reach was not the highest, probably not even top five. But so that not surprised me, but it just let me know, like, the things I do, I'm very athletic, but I'm not the most athletic. But it would seem like that just watching my film.
I think that when we talk about athleticism a lot of times and you look at, like, combine numbers, sometimes you get, like, you're like, oh, that guy had a vert like that. But the difference is that yours is functional. Like, you can actually do it in the game, right? Like, some guys, you know, the no-step vert, whatever, they can get bouncy. But you actually can get up. How old were you when you first dunked?
I was 14 or 15. I was the summer of my 8th grade year. So, like, about to go into my 9th grade year. I slipped in a dunk on accident, honestly, and I caught myself off guard, and then I just was trying after that. I wasn't one of the guys where I was just jumping and grabbing net, trying to dunk like I was doing layups until I knew that I was really up there.
8th grade is crazy. but as you could see in this clip here, and, you know, we showed you out in transition, you have it in the half court too. You don't, like, just dunk. Like, when I watch guys who are, like, really getting up, they dunk on the way down. instead of, like, you know, just maybe they got a long wingspan, they can get the ball in the hoop. You cock that thing back on this cut, man. Like, you're that's a two-hand cock back finish. When you attack the rim like that, like, are you trying to, like, put a little emphasis on it to let people know, like, hey, you better not, you know, get in the way or you might end up on a poster?
A 1,000,000%. I want to say dunking is not rare, but, you know, it's not like you can get a dunk every possession. You could shoot a three any possession you want to. You can get a foul call and get to the free throw line a lot. But getting a dunk is like something that maybe happens maybe 5 times a game or less. So when I get there and get the opportunity, I want to make the most of it for sure.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things watching your film this year at Arkansas that I thought you did such a great job of was cutting and, like, moving without the ball. And I love this possession because, one, like, you know, it shows a little bit of your passing shots, which we'll break down a little bit later. But then you do such a good job reading Matthew Mayer as he falls asleep. So just take me through this play. Like, what are you reading? At what point do you realize, like, you got the jump on him?
Oh, yeah, so... let's let it go back a little bit. Yeah, I came off, saw the pop. I thought he was actually going to shoot a floater. Saw my man was asleep a little bit, went back door. Didn't know if it was going to be open, but he made a really good pass, Makai. And yeah, it was just there. And once I get the pass and I'm in that close, I didn't get blocked too many times this year.
No, you definitely didn't. I'll tell you what, business decisions happen on the basketball court. There's a lot of business decisions. Here you are in Hawaii. First of all, what was the experience like getting to play in, you know, the Maui Invitational?
It was amazing. Outside of the Kansas game and maybe our overseas trip this year, this is definitely very fun. Very, very fun. Great experience. Wish we would have went 3-0. Feel like we still got cheated against Creighton today, but it was a real good experience, and I played well as well.
Yeah, for sure. I love this play here too. This is kind of like the Jimmy Butler play. He runs
I'm
it.
Not gonna lie. That looked like a play that we ran, like, but that just happened. That wasn't a play. I mean, the first part was where I came off.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be like for a shot. Then I didn't want it anymore. I just went back door, and then he threw it, and I just jumped.
You know what's funny is I posted this clip on Twitter talking about your off ball movement, and somebody had said, like, yeah, like, he's a good cutter, but, like, it these seem drawn up, and, like, you just said, like, this is off the cuff, and you could tell after you, like, obviously the double screen, like you said, but just an excellent read and on that back screen. And I think that one of the things that would surprise people if they're not, like, super familiar with your game is, you know, like, and we'll get into your shooting a little later, like, you're not necessarily known as a shooter, but the way that you move off the ball, it's almost like sometimes you look like you would have been watching, like, JJ Redick or Kyle Korver or something. Like, you're so good at just keeping in constant motion. Is that something that you've always kind of excelled at, or is that something that you figured out, like, this year in this system?
I would definitely probably give credit to this year in this system, because I'm glad that you saw that from me this year, because sometimes I feel like I get caught standing or in the corner, especially at Wichita. But we was taught so much about screening away and flare screens and all those type of screens that it just became a habit at some point. Like, the screen that Makai set for the back screen, that wasn't part of the play either, if I'm remembering right. He just set that because that's something we were taught and programmed in our brain this whole year.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, that was a really good play.
And like, that's how NBA teams want to play. Right. Like they don't want, like, unless you're in, like, the Houston James Harden offense, right? Like, teams want, like, that 0.5, like, quick decision. And right. And you show that in spades this year. This one, too, I love, because even when you're not dunking, you got that little hang time. You got the up and under, like, your body's very flexible in the air.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about earlier, like. Before I was even dunking, I was really, really, really creative at, like, layups, up and unders, like, all types of crazy layups. So when I was dunking, it just made it even easier.
Yeah, you, this is like stuff that you would try to do after watching, like, you know, Kyrie or Jordan highlights, right? Like out in the front yard. I mean, this is a crazy finish, high level of difficulty there, but you also aren't afraid to just like go into contact and, you know, finish through somebody's chest. And, you know, here you got Jalen Wilson now on an island, you call him away, right? You want him, you got him right where you want him, hit him with the cross. Right?
Yeah, that game was personal for sure.
Yeah, what was personal about it?
Well, coming out of the portal, they were in my top four. It was Arkansas, obviously, Alabama, Kansas, and pretty much Iowa State. And I really liked them. Obviously, they just won a national championship. My boy Bobby Pettifor is from Durham, North Carolina, where I'm from. So I thought that would have been real cool to be over there with him. And obviously just being in Kansas in general. But didn't go the right way. I just think they chose someone else over me. So it definitely took that personal.
I love to hear it. I mean, you know, that's competitive spirit, right?
For sure.
Like, and you ended up in a great situation, and you had a great season. And the reason I love this so much is because even when you attack the hoop hard like that, and you end up like not finishing the bucket, you can actually still help your team. And on this possession here, hit him with that pump fake, and you got a crazy pump fake. You miss it, but it's the D. Yeah. Rose assist. That's that right. Derrick Rose assist where he would always get to the rim when he was younger, and then, you know, Joakim Noah or Boozer would finish it off. Talk to me about your pump fake, because, I mean, you have like, you know, that's him not knowing the scattering report. You want to get downhill, yeah, right? And you caught him with it, and you caught people with it a lot. Like, you have one of the best pump fakes in the draft, I think.
Yeah. Outside of, you know what I'm talking about. His name Jabari from Texas.
Sir Jabari Rice. Yeah, yeah.
I definitely give his over mine, but outside of his, I feel like mine is definitely one of the more underrated in the country, if not the draft. So, and I'm pretty sure Jabari shot much better than me this year. I only shot 27% from three, and I was still getting almost everybody with it. So imagine when my shooting improves, how many people I get with it. And I still get people with it throughout these workouts and things. So it really used to work more for me better, because a lot of things I hear is that it looks exactly like my shot. I just bring it right above my head with my same shooting form, pause it there for a second, wait for them to get off their feet, and just attack.
Yeah, man. It you got people a lot with it. And I love it. You miss, but again,
yeah,
you leave the bucket there for your teammate, which is important. And this is going to be the last clip that we watch for your finishing. And, you know, you got to be able to finish with both hands at the next level, right? And you do a really good job. I think sometimes, like, guys who look really fluid finishing with their right, when it comes time for them to get downhill and use their left, they look really stiff. Another pump fake. Oh, I mean, yeah, that's pretty. So have you always had like a good left hand? Like, has that been work?
To be honest, I shouldn't really even say this, but my left hand is pretty much better than my right in a lot of ways. I dribble better with my left hand for sure. I'm stronger going to my left hand when I'm driving and moves. And I actually know exactly what happened. Just like going to gyms when my dad was playing pickup ball when I was real young and I couldn't play, he would still bring me, and I'd just be on the side and shooting on the goals and dribbling on the side while they were playing pickup. And I always remember just using my left hand a lot so I could be strong with it, because I'm obviously right-handed, and I guess it got to a point where I was using it so much that it just got better than my right hand. And it still is that way to this day. I honestly put a lot more work in with my right now to get strong that way.
Yeah, it's, and you know, like, people are going to try to keep you, they're going to try to weak you probably, especially early on in your career, maybe when they're not focused on you as much on the scattering report. Yeah. And I think that's going to be really beneficial. I want to transition into your mid-range shooting. I think that your ability to create a shot, especially in that mid-range, is really impressive. And I love this possession. You got Kevin McCullough. Kevin McCullough is one of the best defenders in college basketball. You have him on an island, and it's this subtle little, like that pound dribble right there that freezes him, and then you just rise up. So take me through this possession. What do you, how do you size guys up like this?
The one thing about my mid-range that I love, I feel like is unguardable. I jump really high on it. Plus I have a high release. So it's just like, it's a matter of time of getting my feet right, my body position right, and just releasing it. That's why I feel like I shot it so much, because I just feel like it was an unguardable shot. It looks like a good contest, but I mean, not being cocky or anything, I really don't even see him, honestly. Until like I'm coming down. So yeah, I wish I was even more consistent with it this year, but it's definitely a go-to shot.
Yeah, I love how you said, like, you don't even see him. Because one of the things, you know, I've been talking about with scorers is that, you know, people always talk about, like, space creation, like, how much space can they create? You could do that, but I talk about guys who can get to their spots. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you get to your spots, like, sometimes it doesn't even matter if you have a hand in your face, like, because you're dictating the action. So even if it looks contested, like, that's still a clean look for you, right?
All right, exactly. And that's what some people don't understand. Not everybody understands everybody's game. Like, some shots that look hard is really easy, and some shots that look easy is really hard to some people. It's always vice versa. So definitely mid-range shot, that's usually not a problem.
Yeah, and you have it, like, in these ISO situations. Gigi Jackson is a big dude, right? You shoot right over him there. And you could get to it in multiple situations. Like, here, it's going to be kind of like a drop coverage, like, almost like icing you to the sideline. And they can't play off of you like that.
Right. Yeah, teams that play drop coverages a lot. Coach actually encouraged me and D.O. Davis, another good mid-range shooter, to not necessarily rely on the mid-range. He always wants to get downhill, but he will always tell it that it's there before the game. So the night before or a couple of days before, when he was playing a team and drop coverage, I always work on it with my guy, my GA. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and like I think you need like that in-between game, like for somebody like you who's like so good at the rim, like you have to be able to mix it up so you don't become predictable, right?
Oh,
so like
1,000%.
Yeah, so this is a big shot for you to have in your arsenal, and a lot of big men in the league they play that drop coverage. Here too, this is really crafty. So once you get the ball here, you're almost gonna like snake the screen and like you get to the SEC logo on it to create space. Like, I feel like your most underrated skill is your handle. Like, you handle the ball like a point guard.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of people don't see it. And literally almost every level I've been to, Wichita said the same thing when I got there. And Arkansas said the exact same thing when I got to there. So I guess people don't see film or just don't realize it until I get to the destination.
Yeah, I think like sometimes when you have the reputation as somebody like, who's like crazy athletic, sometimes you underrate like the skills that come along with being like, you know, a full basketball player. But yeah, your handle is crazy. Who are some of the guys that you watched growing up that like helped you develop it?
Jamal Crawford.
Okay.
I used to love when people said I play like Jamal Crawford. It always made me smile. I used to watch a lot of highlights of him early on. Still do a little bit, but definitely him. For handles, that was definitely the main guy.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal Crawford is one of my favorite players ever. Like, I grew up as a Bulls fan, so, you know, when he was coming up, watching that on like League Pass or staying up when I was in high school, seeing what he could do with the ball. And then like that skill level, his ability to use it to leverage, get into shots. I mean, he could still be playing if he wanted to, probably.
I wonder why he doesn't.
he went for 50, I think, in his last game. Like that's, you know, he's crazy. Shout out to Jamal Crawford. And again, like we mentioned it earlier, like your movement, shooting, I love how smooth you look when you're coming off like pin downs and you confidently just get right into that shot. Like, again, like not known as a shooter, but you have all of the skills of somebody who is a really good shooter. Like, this is like something that UConn would run for Jordan Hawkins. You know what I mean?
For a 3-point line, for sure.
So again, like for somebody like you, you know, you said like maybe this year, the system, it just looks so natural. It's like, was there any other teams that you ever played on that like asked you to do any of this stuff?
Well, I definitely shot a lot of curl shots at my first high school that I went to, Northern Durham. First 2 years, we ran flex offense. So coming off to the elbow, shot was always open. And like I said earlier, my high release point and mid range at high school. So like, it was definitely easier even then. So a mid range, I shot a lot of those shots in high school, and that kind of carried on.
Yeah, it looks smooth. It's, I mean, high, repeatable, unblockable. Now, you know, the questions at the next level, you know, you said it, you shot 27% from three this year, you know, are going to be your 3-point shot. And I think that, you know, when, as somebody who has the ball in their hands, who can create their own offense, and plays in ball screens, I think teams are early on are going to, you know, try to get you to punish unders. How much has shooting kind of been a focus for you, throughout this pre-draft process?
That's about 99% of the work, honestly. Ever since I've been in Miami, we lost in Sweet 16 to UConn, obviously. I think I had like a week off, and I was straight to Miami. Worked out 6 days a week, 2 times a day, except on Wednesday, straight shooting and lifting as well. So that's all I've been focused on. Brought the ball a little lower on my release, for my 3-pointer at least, and brought my left hand more off the ball. So it's a smooth release with a better rotation. Feels a lot better. Looks a lot better. More important. I wouldn't say that's more important. Feels a lot better. and it goes in. So I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like into summer league and my next games where I actually have a referee. But it's going in right now for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes it looked like you said, your left hand placement, because sometimes it almost looked like that Joakim Noah release sometimes, from three. But one of the things that I like with guys who have shooting as an improvement area is the fact that you're willing to shoot them and keep the defense honest. So like even here, like it's 20 seconds on the shot clock, you're at the logo, you're still letting it fly. Like you're not afraid to let it fly. Right. Like that's big. Because you know, when you get to some of the other shots that we see you capable of making, like, it's not like you're not capable of making those shots. You hit some pretty tough, like high level NBA shots. We're going to see one of them here, like off this combo. I mean, that's tough.
All right. No, like, part of the problem was I want to be so good of a shooter. Like, I put in so much work this year just to like try to perfect my shot in the most comfortable way. And I think I ended up changing it 3 times. I had it one way in the beginning, I changed it, and then I went back to the other way, or it was one of those scenarios. So that was definitely part of the problem as well. But yeah, for sure, I was still shooting them. I always had the confidence. So yeah.
Yeah, and like I mean, man, that footwork, you know, like even if the stuff up top, you know, needs work, like that footwork is, you know, that's top level stuff. That's legit shot making, and again, like you're switching it up, you're making these guys think. So knocking that stuff down is important. But even so, like you know, that's stuff that you're probably going to have to be in the league a couple of years before, you know, teams let you shoot it. But right away, I think with the mechanical improvements that you're talking about, spotting up, knocking shots down, I think you're going to be able to do that early on, especially here from the corner. This looks good. Like, this almost looks like your mid-range release. Like, you get some air on it. Ant Black places that ball just about as perfectly as you possibly can. What was it like playing with him?
Amazing. Really good guy on the court, and we became very close off the court as well. So really good guy. That's what I stand on from the beginning. He's a really good person. And on the court, like you said, he knows how to put the ball on the spot. If it's a lob or not really a catch and shoot, because we won't hit many of those, but he could definitely pass. Give him a lot of credit on like advancing the ball. He gave me a lot of advanced passes, him and Devo, for like my transition dunks. Like when I look at my highlights, it's kind of both of them just passing it up to me. So he knew how to advance the ball for sure.
Yeah. Ant's a great passer, and you know, it's funny. I've been asking some of the guys like who I watch work out, like, who in the top of the draft, like who is, you know, one of the toughest guys you had to deal with? And they're like, yo, Ant Black, that kid, he can go. And I think that was really, it seems like that was your whole team. Like, you guys just seem like you had a bunch of competitors who were just always looking to, you know, like put pressure on the rim, get into guys defensively. And you were a pretty young team. And you know, with a bunch of high end talent, so getting you guys to all mesh together and perform and have a good deep run, really impressive. Now I want to talk about another aspect of your game that's definitely underrated, and that's your playmaking.
There we go.
You know, like you look at the assist numbers, and I think you average almost 3 assists a game this year, which is like pretty good. But when you also put it in the context that like you're playing with Ant, you're playing with, you know, Nick Smith when he was healthy, you know, Jordan's a guy who could pass the ball a little bit. Like, everybody shared the wealth. This time you're giving it back to Ant, and he goes up and gets it. Like, we've seen it with the dribble. We're gonna see it, and we're seeing it now with the passing. Like, did you grow up playing point guard?
I definitely did on some teams. My brother always gets mad at me, my middle brother. Shout out to him. He always wants me to play point guard. I'm like, you got to understand, it's not really my position to say that. I mean, I guess I could suggest it, but I'm usually playing with some shorter guys, or in this case, a guy like Anthony Black coming in. So was never really no room for me. But hopefully a couple years in the league, I wouldn't mind playing point guard and being in that role. I definitely think I have the handles for it and the high IQ for it as well.
You have really good passing jobs. You never get sped up, play with good pace. I love the vision here. I love the kick. You know, you don't get the assist, but it's still like a really great pass, a really great read. It's a great read, you know, from an NBA perspective, because that weak side corner, the ability to shift the defense like that is really important. And again, like that extra little dribble into the paint, that hesitation, the change of pace, it's just so smooth. So when you're operating out of ball screens, like, what are you reading on the court? Like, how are you reading the defense? How are you, you know, reading your teammates in their spots? How do you approach ball screens?
Approach it trying to get downhill first, just reading the big, see how his feet are, see if he's dropping or sliding or more aggressive. For example, Texas A&M, they were really aggressive off the ball screen, so it was hard to really do anything with that other than pass it or draw a foul. But other than that, I'm looking for the roll. I made a couple good pick-and-roll passes this year with Makai and Jalen and a couple of the bigs. And I was really doing good with it when we had Brazil on the pick-and-pop.
Mm.
I was really liking that. But also, something that I learned, shout out to Anthony Black, was the corner passes as well and skip passes. I got really better with that towards the end of the year. So those are the three that I'm pretty comfortable with right now.
Yeah, you talk about hitting the roll. I thought you did a really good job hitting your rollers. This one right here, again, you go left. Like, you get them with the little, you're a threat in the mid range. So they got to kind of come out when you leave your feet. Right. And it's an easy drop off. It looks easier than it is, but the rest of your game kind of opens it up. Cause you know, you're a downhill threat. So they got to kind of try to somewhat meet you at the level and you can pull the mid range. So it opens up. There's no help at the rim. Really crafty, really, really slick stuff. And we'll see another one here where you're going to use your left hand in a live dribble. Again, you said you're better with your left hand. But even still, like the fact that you could pass with both hands is going to be something that I think is really going to help you at the next level. Cause in the NBA, right? Like every split second kind of matters. And this is really slick. Cause it's not even, you know, the fact that like you got to slide it in there between multiple defenders, like you're fitting it through tight windows. Like, you know, where does the confidence come from as a passer? Like, is that instilled with you from the coaching staff to have that freedom? You know, where you're kind of allowed to make these kind of reads?
Yeah, I was just, like I said earlier, one of the coaches that made it, I don't remember if it was Musselman or one of them, that they didn't know I was as comfortable using the ball screens as I was. So when I was able to show that, he definitely put me in more ball screens, because at first I was kind of just coming off of down screens and pin downs and things like that. But when he knew I was more comfortable there, he let me come off of ball screens, and it just expanded my game even more to make reads and find my own shot.
I love that. He seems like a guy who is just going to empower all of his players to, you know, maximize their potential. This is another like NBA type set. It's like a Spain pick and roll type of thing. And you don't get the assist here. I mean, the ball doesn't even go in, but like, this is the kind of stuff that I think at the next level, like being able to hit the pass, that's going to get the next guy open. Right. Like that's really important too. And again, we see you hit the roll and, you know, Kai makes a great, like tap out basically to Jordan for the corner. So what's it like playing with like a bunch of guys who are such quick decision makers with the ball?
It was amazing. Had so much different talents on this team. It was crazy. Definitely one of the best teams I ever played on. And yeah, it was real fun to be able to make all those different reads and play with those different type of guys. It was a great year. Blessed forever.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, when the ball's moving and everybody's willing to give it up, like it just brings an energy to the team because, you know, the ball might find its way back to you. But then when you're not in ball screens too, like you are really crafty with that handle. You put a lot of pressure on the rim. You averaged, I think, six and a half free throws a game this year. And you got those little drop off passes to your big there. Those like quick improvisational reads are... You know, those are pretty hard reads to make it the last second. How do you time like when to make the pass? Like here, I think is a no look even. You know, what are you trying to fool the defender with your eyes there?
Yeah, when I was real younger, I used to throw like a lot of no look passes, and kind of my old career, but it started at a young age. Obviously, used to actually kind of throw my head to the side. I don't really do that anymore. but yeah, I do a lot of no look passes. I learned that it definitely helps throw to the defenders. Obviously, if you're looking one way, they're gonna try to anticipate it, and then don't realize that the person is obviously on the other side.
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes you gotta bring the flash out, right? Like sometimes you gotta be flashy with it. Gets people hyped up. And again, here just showing your threat as a driver to the rim in how seriously defenses took that. This is a definitely a set you'll see at the next level where you come off like those DHOs. Defender helps off the strong corner, so maybe, you know, you might not see that as often in the NBA, but you see how many shirts come to close off your drive at the hoop. So how do you feel like that ability to get to the rim all of the time, put so much pressure? How do you see defenses react like that? And like this playmaking, like how much does that help you, you know, with your playmaking ability?
1,000%. Just being one of the top scorers in the SEC this year and having being on the top of the list for everybody's game plan, pretty much, I knew defenses were going to collapse and couldn't force shots all the time and really didn't want to. So I had to make the open pass. So just being able to read defenses and watch film of how teams collapse, like Tennessee is a real aggressive team, but really aggressive on defense.
Physical.
So, yeah, very physical. That's definitely the word for them. So definitely knew it, had to know how to find open man.
So let's talk about, like, you know, the next step, the NBA level. Who are, like, some of the guys that you're looking to, you know, step on the court with at the next level and compete against?
Well, I definitely want to play against my favorite players. My favorite players right now are Luka and KD. So definitely want to experience being on the court against them and guarding them as well. Not one of those guys is going to come out and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to get KD 40. I'm going to lock them up. They're my favorite players for a reason. I know they're great.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward to competing out there and giving them my best.
What do you like about Luka's game?
Just how smooth he is. When I look at the favorite players I have, they're all smooth. Smooth scorers, smooth operators. So love his step back. I used to use it a lot. Musselman really didn't want me to shoot step backs like that. Only time I really got to use them was in the shot clock situation. So I really love this step back. And then KD, he's been my favorite player longer, obviously, for a couple years now. So it's just, like I said, smooth, his willingness to score. Nobody can affect his shot. And yeah, he a dog too. So,
I went to the toe on the line playoff game, and I've never seen anybody play basketball at a higher level than KD that night, going at Giannis. Like, we were in the stands, and every time the ball would, like, just leave his fingertips, like, we were like, it. You knew it was going in. Like, he was locked in a way that I never seen anybody be locked in on the. I didn't know you, like, you, like, seeing that in person versus watching on TV is crazy.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So what do you think you could bring to an NBA team during, you know, your rookie season?
Just my dog mentality. First off, just being a dog, staying hungry, doing everything that my coach and teammates wants to win the game. I think that's going to be key and help me succeed and stay on the roster. So starting with that, and then just, like, getting out in transition, showing my athleticism, and with my improved shot, just hitting knockdown shots, like you said earlier. Don't think I'm going to be out there shooting step-back threes and things like that. But with the shooting improvements that I've shown, I think I'm going to have the ability to hit down open shots when they're presented.
Where does the dog mentality come from? I feel like, you know, you were a guy who our site, actually, we covered you in the preseason as a guy who we thought was going to be a breakout candidate. But where does that, like, dog mentality, like, do you feel like you're, like, an underdog in some ways? Like, do you have, like, a chip on your shoulder that you have from maybe you developed at Wichita State or in high school?
Most definitely. If you knew it or not, I had no I major offers out of high school. I had around 20 to 21 mid-major offers, so I was blessed for sure, because some people didn't have that. But I always felt like I was just as good as my peers, if not better, that were ranked higher and getting the better offers, even in my state, not just the country. So going to Wichita State, a team full of dogs, those are my brothers to this day. We still talk all the time. Everybody was sort of kind of in the same situation. Didn't really have no big offers, just came there and came together as one. And that's definitely a school full of dogs. So being there 2 years helped me even more. And just coming to Arkansas, like, it's a SEC school. This is where I always wanted to be, in a Power Five conference like Arkansas. So it's always gonna be a chip on my shoulder.
What was the, like, big difference in competition, or in, like, level of, was there any difference in level of competition going from Wichita State, you know, to Arkansas? Because your numbers went up. this season. Like, you got better as a player. Was there anything like that you noticed? Was the game faster?
I'm not gonna lie. I need to spend more time and think about this question because the AAC is not a bad conference. Like, it's so underrated, so slept on. Memphis, Houston, SMU, Cincinnati. Like, we have so many good teams, physical, older guys. Like, it was a really good conference. Not going to step out of line to say it was better or at the same level as the SEC because I'm not sure about that. But it's definitely slept on, and the top teams in that league could definitely compete with the top teams in other conferences around the country. So,
no, you're right. I went to a bunch of AAC games this year. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like Houston's, they were one of the best teams in the country. I mean, I went to a bunch of Temple games. They got guys who could hoop. Craig Porter Jr. on Wichita State. Like, he's going to be a pro. Yeah, that conference for sure is tough. So you're right, though. Like, and I think you see a lot of the top end guys who come out of those conferences, like, you know, they weren't like told maybe how great they were every day necessarily, like some of the top guys maybe did, and they have that extra that X factor that, you know, kind of helps them buy into a role in the league and thrive. So you get into play, you know, in the mid major and the high major, and I think it's going to be that those experiences are really going to benefit you at the next level.
Sure.
Yeah. So, all right. I mean, we covered, the whole gamut of your offensive game. I appreciate you coming, chopping it up and breaking it down, talking about, you know, your experience, your process. So what's next for you? What do you got coming up in the next couple of weeks before the draft?
Well, I have another three-peat next week. I have Atlanta on Monday, Cleveland Tuesday, Pistons Thursday. Then I end off with Celtics on the Tuesday before the draft. So I'm busy man right now. Been nonstop pretty much since Sweet 16. So, but it's worth it. Just trying to hear my name called 22nd, and dream come true.
Absolutely. We're at No Ceilings. We're rooting for that. Appreciate you coming to chop it up, man. And, you know, good luck with the rest of the process.
I appreciate you.